Thursday, January 26, 2023. This is the Port Commission of the Port of Houston Authority. It's 11 a.m. in our office, and we're going to call the meeting to order. We do have one of our commissioners is virtual, and Commissioner Crusoe is here, so I think we have a quorum. So let's go ahead and just get started. I'll start with a couple of opening remarks. First of all, Happy New Year. I mean, I know this is late in January to say that, but it's our first meeting of the year, so welcome, everyone. When you start the year, you sort of have to think about what we did in last year and then think about what we're going to do this year. And wow, what a great 2022 we had. I mean, we're talking about another record year, highest total tonnage in the history of our public facilities. Roger's going to give you a little more detail on that, in a few minutes. But I want to commend all of our employees at Port Houston that contributed to this successful year that we've had in achieving and exceeding our strategic goals for 2022. And we are focused on people, partnerships, stewardship, and infrastructure. We continue to focus on these areas to drive economic prosperity for our region. Port Houston is all about jobs. I want to thank all the support folks and the people that make it all happen, the ILA, the seafarer unions, the pilots, the Coast Guard, the Corps of Engineers, all in a partnership and industry that helps make the port what it is. Just to highlight a couple of things that were really interesting milestones, the development of our employee development programs and support succession programs creates opportunity for our future leaders of our organization and continues to build a strong and diverse bench for our future. We continue to support the communities in the Houston Ship Channel region through our grants program and investing in parks and green spaces. We continue to enhance our business equity programs through engagement and enrollment in the small business and minority women-owned businesses and increased participation in awards and contracts this year. We developed and delivered our EF squared G report and sustainability action plan supporting the roadmap for carbon neutrality by 2050. And we awarded more than $300 million of new capital project, which is also a new record. That brings us to a little over $1.1 billion of total projects on the land side, in addition to the $1.1 billion Project 11. Just a sample of the things that people delivered, that our teams delivered in 2022. I was recently at a conference on the West Coast, and it was actually a real estate conference, and I thought it was interesting that they brought up ports and how ports were so important to the movement of goods and economic activity. And one of the slides that was up in part of one of these folks' presentations, it showed that in 2017, 58% of containers that came in to America came to the West Coast. And they were talking about the migration of people from the West Coast and East Coast to states like Texas. Today, 43% of containers come to the West Coast. So you talk about a 15 percentage point difference. And we didn't get fewer containers. There were more from 17 to 22. In 5 years, you had a 15 percentage point shift in where cargo was going or where containers were going. And what happened was they came to the East Coast and to the Gulf, and hence our business. If you think about Port Houston, in 2016, we doubled our container business from 2016 to 2022. And that was clearly a function of this movement of cargo and movement of people that has happened over the last few years. And I think that the really important part is that if you would have said in 2016 that we're going to double our business by 2022, no one would have believed that. And I think that the commission, previous commissions, investing in the land side improvements and investing in expansion of our capabilities, we were able to get ahead of that so that we could actually handle that business. So I think that's a really great testament to the commission and to the staff and team that have continued to build infrastructure, because one of the things we know that's woefully underinvested in America's infrastructure. But good news is Port Houston's been investing in infrastructure, and we were able to deliver goods to folks. Another big infrastructure project, obviously, that we talk about is Project 11. The deepening and widening of the Houston Ship Channel continues to move forward at a rapid pace, and we're on time and on schedule, which is really, really good. Dredging is 99% complete on segment 1A, which extends from Bolivar to Redfish Island in the lower bay. This 11.5-mile stretch is that is being widened from 530 feet to 700 feet by Great Lakes dock and dredging will be finished by the end of this month, and again, on budget and on schedule. Final acceptance surveying from the port and the Corps of Engineers is ongoing and will be complete soon. Longbird Island is still in construction. It will take several more months to complete. The dredging has begun on the next phase, segment 1B and 2, which stretches from Redfish Island to Bayport and includes Bayport Channel. Weeks Marine and Curtin are the contractors on this segment and are on schedule and on budget as well. When you think about being on schedule and on budget with this accelerated project, I want to just give a high five and a shout out to our channel development department, and including our consulting teams, our contractors, and for the tremendous progress that they're making in accelerating the path to improve the Houston Ship Channel. And many of you have heard this before, this project in the sort of business as usual category would have been completed in 2030 or beyond, and will be completed by the end of 2025. With this schedule, and having the port funding a lot of the costs that would have otherwise been funded by the federal government. And don't worry, we'll be back with industry to work out a plan for them to help pay for the port commission funding that we've done in advance. And once we complete that, we will be back take industry up on paying for half the channel. So with that said, I want to just talk a little bit about our meeting schedules. We've moved meetings around a bit, trying to accommodate commissioners. I know that has been a challenge for some commissioners. So our meeting schedules are set for the year, and we are going to set committee meetings in advance as well so that commissioners can plan for that. If a commissioner has a problem attending the meeting, we have the ability to have three commissioners be virtual. So rather than changing meetings, we're going to ask that if you have a problem with the meeting, then you can just go virtual, as opposed to as long as we have four members of the commission here. I know that the schedule has been a little in flux, and I know it's been disconcerting for some commissioners, and I apologize for that, but they are in fact scheduled and will not be changed at this point. With that, Roger, I am finished with my comments.
You want to do the minutes?
Sure, let's go ahead and do the minutes. We have the minutes from the November 18th meeting and December 6th. Okay, good. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Chairman. And I too want to follow up and just look, you know, as we dive into 2023, just look back on a fantastic year in 2022. I like to do this in January to try to recap a little bit. Yes, it was a record-setting year once again. Total tonnage, 55 million tons, highest ever, 22% better than last year. And, you know, the general cargo and break bulk facilities continue to prosper and have all year. Docks remain full, steel volumes like a little over 5 million tons. General cargo is up 47% for the year. I'm just proud of those teams as well for managing those docks, something that we haven't seen. I can tell you in my career were the full docks for the whole year, and it's been a lot of activity, and as well as our real estate in the Turning Basin that support that movement of cargo has been 100% leased out, occupied almost for the 99%, but, you know, it's full. So it's good. Again, a lot of cargo, economic activity, and jobs. You can just look out there on the dock and see the container terminals. Reiterating, just to put some numbers to it, we were just shy of 4 million TEUs this year after doing 3.5 million TEUs last year, 500,000 increase in TEUs in 1 year, which was great, up 14%. And I didn't know Rick was going to talk about the West Coast, but just to even put a little more color on that, I wanted to kind of explain what's going on, you know, the happening in Houston. Through November, the December data is not out yet, but it's, we get it from the National Retail Federation, and for the country in 2022, import loaded container, loaded TEU in the United States is virtually flat. I think it's 0.1% of loaded imports coming to this country in containers. The West Coast were down this year 6%. The East Coast ports collectively were up 5.5%. Houston had the biggest increase in the country of 19% growth in import containers in 2022. And for export, the U.S. was actually down in exporting of loaded containers by 5%. The West Coast was down 10%. The East Coast was down 4.8%. Houston, we handled 18% more loaded containers than we did before. Again, this is November data. We'll have the final numbers in December. We had a dip in December, and for reasons that I'll let Jeff explain, it's a dip. It's too early to tell if it's any kind of trend on the import loads. It's not clear, but you know, a lot of people are saying that imports are going to soften the first half of the year, and then it may pick up again the last half of the year. We haven't seen that, but again, nearly half of our containerized cargo, things are produced here and exported. So our export container cargo, which is polymers and petrochemical products that are put in containers, it continues to remain very strong. We think it's going to continue to grow. So, of course, it was a fantastic year for commerce and cargo at Port Houston, but also it was a tremendous year for the achievements beyond that were made by our teammates here at Port Houston, exceeding their goals and priorities. Rick highlighted a few very important ones. The list is long. I'm not going to go over the whole list. We can share that list. We will share that list with you, that entire inventory of the accomplishments that we made toward our goals of infrastructure and stewardship and partnerships and people. But just in general, you know, I want to highlight numerous volunteer projects to the community, commitment to environmental excellence and continual improvement there for our surrounding region. We accelerated the capital investments based upon the growth that we're seeing, and the team jumped in there and looked at what our future growth opportunities are now, knowing what we know. We're embarking on the next generation enterprise resource planning, and that's going to be a big deal for the future of how we do our business. I want to mention too that it's important to ensure that while we're doing all this, that our terminals are secure and safe for those, not only our employees, but those that are using our terminals. And our team does a great job in PSO, and well as the safety that our employees are managing out there. And we continue to, it's been a priority to promote an inclusive culture and preparing our team of leaders for success in the future. So that's been a high priority, and we look forward for that. And the last and not least, with all this going on, we've embarked on beginning to evaluate what our options are of where and when our next container terminal needs to be. So that's something that we're going to be developing this year as well. So there's a huge list, and I'm very proud of what our employees accomplished in 2022, and look forward to even better things to come this year. And many of them are here, but I'm really proud to be on their team. So they've done a great job. So yeah, that's all I have. And thank the commission for their support to allow us to do all this.
Yeah, I'd just like to follow up, Chairman, on what you and Roger both has reported. Obviously, our staff deserves a lot of credit for being so ahead of this infrastructure needs as they have been. But believe me, we cannot stop. It's got to continue to grow. Right now, almost each steamship line coming into this port is going to larger ships right now. Each one of them is doubling the amount of boxes that they're bringing in on these vessels. It means that sometimes some of them have to set outside because they're too large to get more than three in, for example, Bayport at a time. So, and then you need additional cranes. We need more space real, real bad, as we all know. But the staff has done a tremendous job. I can't believe that they were so ahead of this thing and we come out as well as we did, to be honest with you. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing to have this problem. It's going to create more jobs for the economy. It's just going to be a great thing for Houston and the whole region going forward. And so I'm just glad that we got these guys doing the job they're doing. I also want to congratulate Roy and Dean and yourself for getting reappointed. So we got some good leadership.
And you.
Not yet. Not yet. Evidently, I've been a bad boy. They hold me up. But anyway, Chairman, you and the other two commissioners, y'all been very great to work with, and I think the success has shown. So I'm glad to be a part of it. One last thing. There's a company that leases some facilities from the Port Authority, uses ILA. We're fixing to start building chassis in the Port of Houston. You know, a couple of years ago, there was a big shortage for chassis, and everybody was worried about where we're going to get them. Well, they're dedicating this new business on the 14th of February, build the chassis right here in the Port of Houston by good ILA labor.
Well, there you go. If I could follow up on Clyde's comment, you know, he's right. The infrastructure, everything. But, I mean, every report I listen to, the auditing, the financials, what you went over, Chairman, and you get into the community relations. And, I mean, we are firing on all cylinders here. And I've been so proud to serve this organization. This will be my last term. And it's been a great 10 years. Hopefully it'll be another great 2 years. Roger, I really appreciate your report. I am so proud to be a part of this team. And I think the future looks great. So I appreciate everything the staff does. It's been a pleasure and an honor to work with each and every one. So God bless everybody here today. Thank you.
I second those comments.
I might point out one thing.
And I forgot to mention the MWBE. There's just so many things that are positive here.
Roger was sharing some things with us this morning. One of the things that makes you feel so good is that the first session of the contract we led is 99% finished. And, of course, they're getting ready to start on two. It's already been awarded. But Roger was saying that it's cut 2 hours already off of the time that those boats can get here. Do you realize what 2 hours mean? I mean, that's just money. It, 2 hours that they used to have to wait already is being saved. I can only imagine the time that will be saved when they go further. So that's staying abreast, as you say, way out in front of the boom.
I want to make one other comment. I don't know if the pilots here today or not. Anybody from the pilots? Don't see them. You know, I want to say again how important those guys are to this port. And with this additional dredging that's already been done, hopefully, Charles, you might can tell us, but hopefully we'll start being more flexible with some of these ships and move them even faster. You have any idea about
that? Absolutely. The pilots are already working on changing the daylight restriction hours.
Okay.
As soon as the surveys are done, that's when that action can happen. And they're pressing the bubble. Navigational safety first.
Yeah.
They're pressing the bubble as hard as they can second. They're doing a great job.
Good. I just want to make sure we tell them how much we appreciate their flexibility and helping this sport grow.
No question. Any other commissioner comments?
I would like to say this. I want to thank the port personally for what they did yesterday in Pasadena.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They sent over 8,000 bottles of water out there, and they sent 25 volunteers out there to help the city attempt to try to put it back together. it's going to be a tremendous burden that's fallen on that city. It's just tore up in every direction, no matter which way you go. And people like the port stepping forward to help is very appreciative. And I appreciate it as a commissioner, but really as a citizen of the Pasadena. I think it was really fine time to step forward. That shows you what this port's all about.
Right.
Agreed. You know, and real quickly, I should have mentioned that, but just the kind of people we have, that wasn't my decision. They said, hey, we need to go do this. And that's very important. It's coming from the staff. So I appreciate that.
Well, I bet Roy had a little something to do with it.
There you go. All right. Any other comments, commissioners? Okay. We're going to move to item E1, which is appearances and public comment. Before that, though, I want to welcome our Harris County Treasurer, who is here with us today, Dr. Carla Wyatt. Thank you for being here, and thanks for everything that Harris County does to help. Would you like to address the commission at all?
First of all, thank you for allowing me to be here. My name is Dr. Carla Wyatt. I have 20 years of experience at Harris County, so I'm hoping to continue working on the great relationship that we have and build a better relationship in any way that I can. So feel free to call on me at any time. Carla like the hurricane, Wyatt like Irma. So I'm in trouble.
I don't know about that. I'll remember your name for sure.
Yeah,
there you go. Thank you so much for being here. Okay, we have in appearances, we have Bridget Murray, who is on our PCCA council, also represents the Pleasantville Area Super Neighborhood Council number 57. I think I see you there. You have the floor, Bridget. Go ahead.
Well, good morning. You've already introduced me, so I really appreciate the fact that you mentioned that I'm a resident of Pleasantville and on the Citizens Advisory Council. So I just want to thank you all for this opportunity to share some quick thoughts. First, let me begin by thanking the port leadership for their ongoing work and efforts to identify projects that would be eligible for Justice 40 grant funds. I am sure there are other entities in the Houston area with similar goals, but since many of the near port communities meet the eligibility criteria for Justice 40, this is an important effort to address many unmet needs as either leading, partnering, or supporting. So again, thank you for pursuing mutually agreeable projects for the port and the community to work together. So I really wanted to share that thought with you all, because it's a very important effort for many of the communities near the port. The other comment or question I wanted to inquire about or make a comment is related to agenda item J7, which is about infrastructure. And it states, approve the revised fees for Port Authority licenses, permits, and barge fleeting leases and permits according to the attached schedule. I noticed in reviewing this item, dredge fees were included, and so was wondering if this would result in long-term reviews, if the new fee structure would support planning for new locations of dredge sites. This may result in an offline conversation, but because many of the current locations have been in use for greater than 6 years, and it's kind of been a question we've raised as we continue to discuss Project 11. So I thought I would raise that as a question.
Okay, well, Rich, why don't you get up here and answer that question? Rich Burns.
Thank you. Bridget, I didn't hear the entire question because of it was garbled, but
yes.
This item is mainly revising our fees for pipeline licenses and so forth. So I will follow up with her to talk about what the implications are. I don't think it has anything to do with tipping fees.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, so it doesn't have anything to do with tipping fees or placement sites. It's only for pipelines.
But to the extent that it caused some confusion, I'll get with Bridget and we'll talk through the language and give her a better answer.
Let me just add, the fee schedule was posted publicly, so that's available for the public to review.
Got it.
And barge fleeting shouldn't be an issue out there, I wouldn't think.
Sorry.
Bark League shouldn't be an issue in that area.
No.
It's okay. Just an adjustment. It was time to have an adjustment.
Okay, great. Anything else, Bridget?
No, those were the two items that I wanted to discuss this morning.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for all your support and your help on the PCCAC committee. We enjoy visiting with you, so thanks.
Thank you.
We'll see you next meeting. Eric, are we, anybody else?
To my knowledge, that is.
Okay, great. Okay, so we'll then, we'll close public comments and we'll go to F1 with executive. I think that we have, Tom, you're going to take us through executive.
Wait, somebody's trying to talk.
Somebody's trying to talk, go ahead.
I think they just need to be muted.
Oh, okay. We're muted now, so Tom, you're up.
All right, so under executive, we have one item, and it is to amend the procurement policy. By state statute, we have the ability to do design build and construction manager at risk when it's the best value procurement method. However, that's not currently in our procurement policy. So we are asking the commission to approve us putting those two types of procurement methods into our procurement policy.
So moved.
Second. Questions, comments? And none, all the favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes on business equity. Maxine Buckley.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. Glad to stand before you this morning. Commissioner or Chairman, you actually mentioned one of the things I was going to highlight in my comments, and that was the Executive Leadership Development Program that kicks into high gear this month.
Right.
So we have 16 leaders that are in the cohort, and they will be on an aggressive learning table or schedule this year. As part of that effort, we're going to seek out opportunities for them to get more exposure to the four commissioners. So be looking for invites or comments around that. So I think some of the cohort members are here, so if they can just stand real quickly so we can see who they are. Some you know better than others, but these are our potential future leaders. And our FNWBE flagship training program, which we call Opportunity U, cohort 3 also kicks off, and that is next month. So this particular cohort, we're focusing our efforts on training and engineering construction, which is where we have most of our spend, obviously, and we'd like to increase our participation in that area. So we'll be launching that in the next few weeks. Our business equity committee meets right after this meeting, so I won't go into any of the business equity activities. So if you're interested in those, please stay and join us for that meeting. But my ask on agenda item G1 is to approve the purchase order to issue our license renewal for B2G Now, which is our diversity management compliance system. It's an annual fee that is charged. We're showing that it's going to increase about $10,000, but we've negotiated under a DIR contract to keep that flat. So that number will be about to ask for your approval to do that.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any questions, comments? Any hearing on all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to get into commercial. With John Mosley.
Morning, Chairman.
Morning.
Morning, Commissioners. I have four items on behalf of the Court's Commercial Division today for consideration. Two of them are marketing related, two of them are basically routine real estate lease related. One of them is a new lease for 1 year, as the last one, H4, is an extension. But I wanted, before I went into that, I just wanted to share a little bit with you, echoing a lot of Roger's comments and your comments, Chairman, about the performance and the long-term performance and the shift and things going on here in Houston. C.B. Richard Ellis recently put out its fourth quarter report, industrial market report, and in its report, I just wanted to quote something out of the report. Houston's industrial development pipeline grew for the seventh consecutive quarter, reaching 33.5 million square feet, with 6.4 million square feet of project starts during the fourth quarter of 2022. Houston cruised through the fourth quarter with growth that resulted in a record-breaking year-end absorption and historic low vacancy. Heading into 2023, the market is well-positioned to handle future economic uncertainty thanks to continued population growth, unprecedented demand at Port Houston, and companies' heightened reliance on safety stock. That speaks to something I've brought up before, the stickiness of our business. It's a great outlook. We're really excited about 2023 and the future. Just echoing again the need for infrastructure development and continued support of everything we need to do here, both on the operations side and on the infrastructure side. Market's strong. That said, I'd like to jump into the four items. The first two are related to the Houston International Maritime Conference. We're looking at expanding that conference and doubling the success that we experienced in last year when we had the conference. They're related to that event. And like I said, the last two are real estate related. I'd like to have your approval for items H1 through H4.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Any questions, comments?
I have a quick question on item 22. John, do we have any way, or have we already figured out a way to figure out our return on investment? I know we're investing a lot in this conference, the event. Do we have any way of measuring what business we get out of it?
Yeah, well, actually, yes, there is a way to measure the success based on, you know, the engagement we have with our client base and creating awareness for the region. That's part of the reason for our success. We've been doing this for years. Last year was a very interesting year because we had a lot of importers and exporters that flew in from out of town, are new to the Houston area. They want to be aware of a lot of the capital improvement projects and what's going on at the port. And that's what creates that stickiness, I think, that helps to support our business. But monetarily, we are growing it to a point where it's a self-sustaining event as well.
Okay.
It's something where we work able to carry forward some positive funds into this year that we had earned last year. And based on what we're doing, we are projecting for it to come out a net positive for 2023 and beyond as well.
Yeah, there's a tremendous amount of appetite for sponsorships and participation. You know, last year was the first year and it was well received, and continue to grow this is, I think, a great opportunity. But again, you know, it's certainly at the end of the day going to be self-supporting to the point, quite frankly, proceeds maybe that we can sponsor, you know, that we can contribute to the community. So it's very well done, and it's something that we're going to continue to grow. But last year was the first one, very well received, a lot of participation. It's good for you.
We're also consolidating expenditures from other smaller things that you've
Okay, any other questions? Okay, if not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion's passed. Mr. Finley, I think you're up.
I am. Good morning. Good morning. Two items on the agenda. First, we're seeking your approval this morning. Item I-1 is seeking approval for award of a 5-year contract to Truist Bank for the port's banking services. We pushed this solicitation in November of last year and followed that with a pre-proposal conference. We had, I believe, 17 and 18 institutions participate in that pre-proposal conference. Incidentally, though, this contract is exempt from SMWBE requirements. We did reach out to two minority-owned banks to solicit their interest and attention. Neither of them did, but I wanted you to be aware that we did reach out. There were six banks that submitted proposals for these services. The recommendation is the award to Truist Bank, who is the incumbent, who offered one of the highest earnings rates on deposits combined with lowest service fees and very sound banking infrastructure to support our processes.
Okay, let me just make one note. The agenda states it as an annual amount. It's an annual amount up to $50,000.
Yes.
So just a note.
Thank you. Item I-2 is requesting your approval of the audited financial statements of the Port of Houston Authority Restated Retirement Plan, or the pension plan. For short, this was presented earlier today to a joint committee meeting of the Pension Benefits Committee members, as well as the Audit Committee, and received their recommendation for approval by this full governing body. The financial statements and audit reports issued by Forvis, our external auditor, were provided, and controller Curtis Duncan sent those out as well over the weekend for your review. After your approval, we will file these with the Texas Pension Review Board as required for their code. So that's what we have. Happy to answer any questions on either of those.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay, I have a comment. Yeah, go ahead.
I'd like to congratulate you on the handling of the pension plan. You know, we've made some changes with contributions and our policies, investments, and we got our funding levels up. And with the downturn in the market last year, we survived it, and we're still in great shape. Compared to any other public entity, we're in real good shape out there. So I appreciate the work you're doing over there and your team. And,
it takes villages, you know. Commissioner,
but
yeah, very sound position for the employees and
yes.
Retirees as we exited last year. Yes, thank you.
Any other questions, comments? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion passed. On infrastructure, Rich Burns is up.
Good morning.
Hey, Rich.
How is everybody?
Good.
Good. Before I get into the items, just a couple of quick highlights. I do want to follow up the comments on Project 11. Recognize the leadership that really drives this. In concert with the executive leadership cohort, one person that's on that cohort's missing, that's Lori Brownell. She's at a Western Dredging Association meeting today. She's on the board. She's the president of the Academy of Coastal, Ocean, and Ports and Navigation Engineering, and she's a fellow in the Society of Civil Engineering. So she's really been a strength from the technical aspect. And then, as you all recall, we had a three-pronged strategy for Project 11 from the very beginning. It was advocacy, it was technical, and it was financing strategy. And the guy who drove that has been really the brain trust for all those elements. He's sitting right here, Charlie Jenkins.
Right.
So we need to recognize these leaders here. A couple of quick highlights since last board meeting. On the grants front, we've won about $4 or $5 million worth of grants to pursue Jobs Act money, also to buy 26 new cleaner diesel replacement trucks, port security grants, and also a $2.2 million USDA grant we closed this month by signing that contract to enable the building of some of these chassis. Sustainability moves forward. We're supporting truck intros with the Hyzon and Nikola demos last month. Chairman, you graciously were there. And we're also supporting the multi-billion dollar application that's region-wide around high velocity. It's the hydrogen hub, which could be transformative for this region and this industry. And we've done partnership and leading in other meetings and so forth, but in interest of time, I'll defer that. We were informed that we weren't selected for the three-port Gulfstar billion-dollar grant application, but we're going to stay in the box and keep swinging the bat. It's opening up again this year, and there's other sources as well. And finally, with respect to the core business of supplying capacity before demand, we have an ambitious CIP this year again. It's about $400 million and includes improvements of Bayport's Barber's Cut, continuing to rehab the turning basin, planning and design for all the future of all the above, as well as the next $100 million for Project 11. So with that, we have 11 items. I'm going to highlight three. Before I do that, we do need to table item three, due to late hour information, raising the possibility that the recommendation may not be able to perform the job. So we have to pull that one. Does that have to be a separate motion?
No, you can just, we'll do the motions properly.
Right. So item one is a repair and replace of a dredge pipe sleeve. This is a pipe conduit that connects the upper channel of the turning basin to the dredge material placement areas. It's in disrepair. It's decades old, and we have to replace that one. It goes up and over under High Level Road and under the PTRA. Item four is a community benefit and sustainability investment in our partnership with Morgan's Point. Fort Houston is going to plant about 1.2 miles of foliage for sight and sound screen between Barber's Cut Terminal and the city. And then item 11 is a marine construction permit to Sesco Cement. Normally, we don't highlight marine construction permits, but this is a $2 to $3 million investment that they're going to be making on port assets in order to prepare for deeper ships in a continuation of the investments they've been making at the north end. As we deepen as part of Project 11, they're going to be able to take advantage of that, but they've got to improve their bulkhead. And with that, including the tabling of item three, I'd ask for approval.
So moved.
Sustaining on 8 and 9.
Okay.
Second.
All right. So any other questions, comments?
Quick question, Rich. Did you reach an agreement with Mayor Bechtel on the bamboo that he wants?
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate that. More than you know.
Okay. We are going to vote on items J1. We're taking J3 out, and Commissioner Clunan is abstaining on 8 and 9. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
So approved. Okay, go ahead. Jeff, David.
Operations. Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. The Chairman and Roger have already so eloquently reported on the year of 22, but I'm going to concentrate just on December. Certainly, we had a great year. However, December, we did see some softening at the container terminal. The TEUs dropped below the 300,000 TEU mark for the first time since February. And compared to the average, December overall was down 4.5% of TEUs. But loaded import containers compared to the average of the 3 months preceding December, down about 20%, which is significant. And our carriers tend to export empties back to Asia, so that these imports will have boxes to return again. And those export empties were down about 30%. But export loads, very solid month, was above the 12-month average. So exports filled some of those empty slots on the ship for the month. And it's a really tough month. It was really a tough month to measure whether we're seeing some softening or just the environment that we had in December. We had a lot of fog, some ships were delayed. And we had some extreme cold weather around the holidays that hampered our labor supply somewhat. So we had some extreme things happen in December. We're still trying to measure what's happening here. We don't want to declare that we're in a softening, but we did have a slightly slower one. The queue of ships, we've had large queue of ships all throughout 22. The third quarter, latter part of the third quarter, into the fourth quarter, we had 25 ships daily waiting on the container facilities. In December, that number got down to 4. We got it down to 1 this week, back up to 4 today. But that is priority number one, is to get that queue of ships knocked down. So we're working very diligently at that. As Roger mentioned, the general cargo facilities have done very well this year and continue. Cement and lumber, in addition, are very strong commodities for us. We handled 5.2 million tons of steel this year, and that's the second highest total in the last decade. And there are 6 steel ships here today. It's a testament to that. But at any rate, the general cargo facilities continue to flourish. A couple of activity notes. We had a new high date. Transaction day last week, 15,275 container transactions with a 52-minute turn time. And I've been here 29 years. We were doing 1,200 a day when I got here with about an hour and a half turn time. So the zone and the service continues to improve. On the cloudier side, the Saturday gate, which, as you guys know, we've been trying to promote and continue to promote. It's just has not begun to flourish at all. We did 1,400 transactions 2 Saturdays ago,
1,800 last Saturday, and pretty much those are the equivalent of about an hour during the week. So we continue to monitor this and evaluate how the future will pan out for us, but it's not doing well. It's not living up to the expectations that we had for it. So I'm going to move to the agenda. I need to highlight K-5 and ensure we need to remove that from your consideration. We'll probably return in a month or two as we get it further refined. But I'd like to highlight K-1. K-1 is for gate interchange cards. We're asking for approval for 30 million cards. And gate interchange cards are the things that we print for the shipper when he arrives in the container terminal. We print about 45,000 cards a day, sometimes obviously more than that. But every driver that arrives, we give him permission, go into the yard, drop your container here, pick up that container there, and move to the exit gate. So he has one there. And then once he leaves, he's just like he's been shopping with us. We give him a receipt for what has transpired. And so that's how we chew up those interchange cards daily. But 30 million cards. And we are working toward a paperless solution. We've been working on it for some time. But it's like, how can you leave Walmart without a piece of paper when you buy something there? So that's our struggle, but we continue to work at it. I'm hopeful that we will accomplish that in the future.
Does any other port have a paperless solution?
We've discussed that, and there are some, but we're trying to tailor it towards our environment. Each port is unique, but it's a very good question. And there are some out there, and they all involve cell phones and registering cell phones, so that you can send an automated message, for lack of a better term, to a cell phone. It's just it's a large effort to get there. But that's the solution, and we've seen that at other ports. But they haven't done 100% of the activity that they're doing. Like, the mission ticket may not be feasible, but maybe the receipt as we register them. So I think if we have an opportunity, it's going to be in a phased approach that we'll text you or email you your receipt, but that mission ticket up front is still a challenge to do in that context. But very good question. Also, K-7 is rental of heavy equipment. This is College Group. They use a lot of equipment to service our facilities, obviously, and in the cranes. We use quite a bit of man lifts at the container facilities, and we use a lot of earth-moving equipment and heavy equipment here from central maintenance here at these facilities. But we use this equipment across all of our facilities, and it's a needed supplement to our fleet of equipment that we maintain. So with that, I would like to ask for your consideration for K-1 through K-4. In K-6 through K-8, omitting K-5.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or comments? Okay, if not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, nays. Approved. Okay, let's go to Jessica. There you are.
Good morning. Good to see you. Commissioners.
Morning.
We are excited this morning to announce that we are approaching our fourth cycle of our community grants program, which will be launched February 1st. So this is our strategic outreach initiative to help Port Houston develop and strengthen our community partnerships and create greater value for the region. Since this program began in 2020, it has steadily grown, and we are up to $875,000 that has been invested in the community, and we are planning to invest another $375,000 in this upcoming grant cycle. So we have invested in 36 nonprofit organizations previously. We're implementing projects and programs with impactful results in our local community. Just a few of these include building new neighborhood parks and green spaces, removing debris and trash from our waterways, addressing food insecurity and health issues, and supporting robust workforce development programs to improve quality of our life in our area. So this program is expected to launch February 1st, and letters of interest are due by March 3rd. We're going to be sending you all this information to pass on to partners. We will do a big outreach campaign, so you'll be seeing a lot in social media. Emails will go out to all of our partners, but we wanted to get the word out to you guys so you can pass it along to partners that you all work with. So we are very excited for this year's program and to see all the great applications that come into that. As for the items today on the agenda, we have two. The first one is the annual agreement with Houston International Seafarers Center. There's no changes to the prior year. This was approved through the budget process and the PMD budget process in September. No changes, but because it's over $50,000, we need to go back to formal approval. And then the second item is the 2023 Employee and Retiree Appreciation Event. We were excited in 2022 to finally bring that back. We had hiatus for 2 years, and so we got great feedback from employees. The only negative feedback that we received was the weather and the heat. So we are pushing it ideally back a month, subject to approval. So we are planning and targeting Saturday, October 14th for this event, and we hope that all of you guys can make it, along with our staff and retirees. It is a great event, and we are excited to bring people together in person. So do you have any questions for me?
The motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or comments? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
I would definitely support the commissioners going to the event. I went to the event. It was hot. There's no question, but they had some nice fans. It was really great to get to see all of our folks there and having a good time. Captain Marcus Woodring.
We did move it to October, though.
Yes.
Yes.
Perfect.
Should be nice, yeah.
Should be nicer.
Good morning, Chairman.
Morning.
Commissioners, usually I jump right into the agenda, but we've had a busy 3 days, and I just wanted to highlight a couple of things that have been going on in Port Security. As you said, we're firing on all cylinders. We've been very busy. Monday, we caught a truck driver with a false TWIC card coming in the gate here at Cargo Bay Road, and the DA took charges on that. On Tuesday, we had a fairly significant car accident with a truck up here on High Level Road. It took us about a half hour, 45 minutes to clear that. And Tuesday, you've also heard about the tornado. I want to say our emergency management department was very active in that, monitoring it. And as soon as they got word that the cone of that tornado was headed toward Barber's Cut, they did order a shelter in place for our employees out there to ensure their safety. Fortunately, we did not have any tornadoes at Barber's Cut. We should be all clear. Probably the most significant case of the week, and I can't go into a lot of details because it's still under investigation, but we had a gentleman show up at the Volkswagen lot with a false credential claiming to be a state inspector, and he needed to pick up a Porsche. they called us. Our police department went over, turned out the documentation, the paperwork was all false. He had a warrant out police arrest for impersonating a state trooper. So it's kind of like a catch-me-if-you-can kind of scenario. He was arrested for the warrant. The DA filed the charges for impersonating state officer. The state comptroller's office also piled on with some more charges. Still under investigation, but obviously this individual shouldn't have been here and was obviously has a long history of doing things like this. So I can fill you in some more details outside of the public session if you're interested. But great job by our whole division in resolving the issues this week. We have one item on the agenda today, and that's a drone detection system. It's a three-year contract with a company called 911 Security for access to their AirGuard program, which is online. They have sensors around town, and we are able to look at the whole area and also geofence off some of our terminals to receive alerts when drones may fly over our terminals. It's $96,000 for 3 years. We have a Port Security grant for that, which will reimburse us for $72,000 or 75% of the cost once we procure the system. So asking your approval of that item today.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chief, I want to say your folks do an excellent job of securing this port.
Yes, sir. Thank you. We try very hard. There's always two sides to the story.
For sure.
Thank you.
Okay, next item. I think we have Ron. You're up today, Ron Farrell.
Good morning, Chairman.
Good to see
you.
Good to
see you guys. This morning we have one item on the agenda, and it is for a annual CDW peripheral replacement requisition. So we use this for purchasing monitors, keyboards, anything quickly so we don't have to keep a lot of stock.
Okay.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second. Okay. Any questions, comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, so the next item is our executive session. We will have one, and we're going to take a quick break before our executive session, and we'll come back for that in a second.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay.
Permitted by Texas Open Meetings Act and Government Code, conduct a private consultation with attorneys, including consultations regarding 33 of the 5B and 2236 memorandum of settlement agreement with the City of Seabrook, Texas, the assessment of City of Houston drainage fees on certain Port Authority properties, the claims of Gilda Ramirez, the claims of Standard Constructors, Inc., and the claims of George Head Contractors, Inc., and deliberate regarding real estate, including disposition of Pelican Island property, economic development negotiations or incentives, employment and evaluation of public employees, including deliberation regarding the employment agreement of the Executive Director of the Port Authority, and security-related matters. Port Commission will reconvene in public session after the closed meeting is adjourned.
In open session, it is what time is it? It's 1:23 on January 26th, 2023. We are going to bring the Port Commission of the Port of Houston Authority back into order. I will take a couple of motions. So, Mr. Commissioner Fitzgerald, you got something for us?
Yes, sir. I move for the open session, January 26th, 2023, reference Gilda Ramirez. I move to authorize the Port Authority to settle the claims of Gilda Ramirez on the terms discussed in executive session and authorize the executive director to do all other things reasonable or necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
Okay, so there's a motion, second. Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
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 Okay.
I move to authorize the Port Authority to negotiate and settle the claims of George Hedge Contractors, Inc. and Standard Constructors, Inc. on the terms discussed in executive session and authorize the executive director to do all other things reasonable or necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
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 I move that the Port Authority approve an amendment to the employment agreement with Roger Gunther on the terms discussed in executive session and authorize the chairman and chief legal officer to do any and all things necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All fair to say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Okay, I think we have no other business at this point, so I will take a motion for adjournment. I guess we have our next meeting, Roger, when is it?
February 21.
February 21.
So,
okay, all favor of adjourning. Say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.